Well, I've got a couple of illustrations I want to read for you. Just one was when that George was making comment about, you know, searching for Christmas. I'm going to read this one here. It says, "I look for Christmas everywhere, through snow-filled skies and winter's air. I hunted in the likely places, the festive shops, the children's faces. I searched for Christmas day and night, in sprigs of holly, candlelight. In gifts gay wrapped and friendly greetings, yet found it not, and time was fleeting. And then with a sudden start, I thought to search within my heart. And there, not lost, but warm and waking, was Christmas mine, just for the taking." That's by Emily Templeton. Just like the sensor that we need to look in our hearts and find that Christ is there in order to really find and understand Christmas. It's only when Christ is within our hearts that we really can understand Christmas. I've got another I'd like to share. That's a piece that really hit me when I read it. So I'll share with you this one. So the simple white envelope. Some of you might have seen or heard this one, but if you have, just bear with me. Said, "It's just a small white envelope stuck among the branches of our Christmas tree. No name, no identification, no inscription. It has peeked through the branches of our tree for the past 10 years or so. It all began because my husband, Mike, hated Christmas. Oh, not the true meaning of Christmas, but the commercial aspects of it. The overspending, the frantic running around at the last minute to get a tie for Uncle Harry, and the dusting powder for Grandma, the gifts given in desperation because you couldn't think of anything else. Now, when he felt this way, I decided one year to bypass the usual shirts, sweaters, ties, and so forth. I reached for something special just for Mike. The inspiration came in an unusual way. Our son Kevin, who was 12 that year, was wrestling at the junior high level in school he attended. Shortly before Christmas, there was a non-league match against another team sponsored by an inner-city church. These youngsters, dressed in sneakers so ragged that shoestrings seemed to be the only things holding them together, presented a sharp contrast to our boys in their spiffy blue and gold uniforms and sparkling new wrestling shoes. As the match began, I was alarmed to see that the other team was wrestling without headgear, a kind of light helmet designed to protect wrestler's ear. It was a luxury the ragtag team obviously could not afford. Well, we ended up walloping them. We took every weight class, and as each of the boys got up from the mat, he swaggered around in his tatters with false bravado, kind of street pride that couldn't acknowledge defeat. Mike, seated beside me, shook his head sadly. I wish just one of them could have won, he said. They have a lot of potential, but losing like this could take the heart right out of them. Mike loved kids, all kids. And he knew them, having coached little league football, baseball, and lacrosse. That's when the idea for his present came. That afternoon, I went to a local sporting goods store and bought an assortment of wrestling headgear and shoes and sent them anonymously to an inner-city church. On Christmas Eve, I placed the envelope on the tree, a note inside telling Mike what I had done, and that this was his gift for me. His smile was the brightest thing about Christmas that year and in succeeding years. For each Christmas, I followed the tradition. One year, sending a group of mentally handicapped youngsters to a hockey game. Another year, a check to a pair of elderly brothers whose home had burned to the ground the week before Christmas. And on and on. The envelopes became the highlight of our Christmas. It was always the last thing opened on Christmas morning, and our children, ignoring their new toys, would stand with wide-eyed anticipation as their dad lifted the envelope from the tree to reveal its contents. As the children grew, the toys gave way to more practical presents, but the envelope never lost its allure. The story, it didn't end there. You see, we lost Mike last year due to cancer. When Christmas rolled around, I was still so wrapped up in grief that I barely got the tree up. But Christmas Eve found me placing an envelope on the tree. In the morning was joined by three more. Each of our children, unbeknownst to the others, had placed an envelope on the tree for their dad. Tradition has grown, and someday will expand even further with our grandchildren standing around the tree, wide-eyed anticipation as their father take down the envelope. Mike's spirit, like Christmas spirit, will always be with us. May we all remember Christ, who is the reason for the season and the true Christmas spirit this year and always. And it's that spirit of giving to others that Christ came to earth as the Christ child to give salvation to us, to all who will believe. And therein lies our passage for today. We're going to turn to John chapter 3. We're going to read the first 21 verses. This is, if you're familiar with the passage, where Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born again when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at my saying that you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's leader," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify about what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn this world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plain, may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us so plainly and clearly. But even in the plainness of your words, Lord, sometimes we miss your intent. Lord, we ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds to see it this morning. Lord, show us how you would have us to apply this to our lives. Open our hearts and our minds for not just earthly understanding, but for supernatural understanding. Lord, that you provide through your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you speak to us through these words and show us your truth in a way that maybe we've never seen before. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I speak this morning, that I might speak in power and in truth, but out of the overflow from the infilling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, might I speak in your strength, in your power, and in your truth, and in no one else's. And Lord, we pray that you would be present here this morning in our midst, that each person here would be encouraged and blessed and be drawn closer to you this morning. Lord, if we need to be challenged, challenge us. Lord, if we need to be comforted and held close, hold us close. But Lord, meet us where we are. See to our needs this morning. And then, Lord, might we be faithful in praising your name and giving you the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, probably not your typical Christmas passage. But again, this speaks so clearly of the incarnation. It's without a doubt that Jesus walked this earth as a man. And he speaks of coming as the only Son of God, the one and only Son. And like any other son, he came into the world the usual way, born. Now, unusually, he was placed in a manger, a feeding trough. Most babies aren't placed there. But that's wherein he was placed. And as we spoke about on Christmas Eve, the angels came and told the shepherds, this is how you're going to know that this is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Now here we see Jesus speaking with Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee and a member of the ruling council. A man of power. A man of learning. A man who doesn't have a clue. Saying, how can this be? Now he knows that Jesus is a teacher and he recognizes that he must be from God. And he goes to him and says, please show me. I want to understand. He's not being facetious. He's not being sarcastic when he says, how can a man be born again? He can't go back into his mother's womb. What is this? He's seeking understanding. But you see, he's trying to understand through the wisdom of man. And guess what? We're not so smart. We're not anywhere near as smart as we think we are. And through human understanding and the wisdom of man, that just makes no sense whatsoever. We're talking about godly wisdom here. And Jesus has said, I'm telling you the truth. I'm speaking to you of earthly things, and how do you expect to understand spiritual things? The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. This is against everything that Nicodemus has been taught to this date. You see, you know who's going to be saved. It's all based upon your bloodline. You know, are you of the lineage? What's your lineage? If you're of the people of Abraham, you're in pretty good shape. If you're not, as far as the Jews were concerned, well, too bad. You don't have any hope, really. But he says, you don't know where the wind's going. You don't know who's going to be chosen. It's going to light on whoever. And Nicodemus going, what? How can this be? See, none of us know who the Holy Spirit is going to come upon and who's going to receive the gospel message. Our job as Christians is to present it so that everybody gets to hear it. Because some are going to receive it, and some aren't. This gospel message, this good news, that there's a Savior, there's Messiah, Christ, one who has come to redeem us from our sin, to pay the penalty, to remove our condemnation. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. See, he's placing all his trust on the wisdom of man, on the teaching of men, and the rules that the leaders of Israel have come up with that say, this is how you do it. And Jesus says, it's not based upon that. It's not based upon who your father and mother are. It's not based upon doing some strange thing. What it is based upon is believing the Son. Says, just as Moses was lifted up, a snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. See, it's for everyone. And he must be lifted up. People, that's our job. Your job, my job, the church as a whole, as individuals. It's our job to hold up the Son. On Christmas Eve, it's not about what you get. It's not about spending a ton of money. It's about sharing the love of God that came into this world. Now, it's a wonderful thing to do things like the illustration here where this family, they've now made it a point to reach out to others. See, they understand the purpose why Jesus came was to help others, to help the lost. Not about trying to get good stuff for themselves. So that's a good way to celebrate the birth of our Savior, of the one who is our blessing. And the blessing of each person who will believe according to Scripture. And we don't know who it is. It tells us that the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it is going from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. We don't know who's going to hear this gospel message today. Who's going to hear it and receive it. But it's incumbent upon us to speak it and put it out there. Because somebody's going to hear. Because for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Probably one of the most important passages in all of Scripture. And I have to read it here because I learned it in the King James and I read it in the NIV and I tend to mix them up. So I have to, if I try to give you the, you go from memory on that one nowadays. But it is the truth. You see, God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. To live, to be born in a manger, to die on a cross for our sins. For my sins, for your sins. Again, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That is so, so important. The world already stands condemned. Nobody here was born without that judgment over them when they were born. Nobody here, nobody anywhere. We all are born under judgment. It is only through believing on the work that Jesus did on the cross. For whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. I had somebody who was a classmate of mine from high school who posted on Facebook likening Jesus to three mythological characters. And he says, you know, but Jesus is the only one that people are still worshiping. Why is that? Because Jesus isn't mythological. Jesus is real. Jesus actually was born. Mary went through birth pains. She nursed him, changed his diaper, raised him up, and he grew to be a young man and then an adult. And then God removed the ignorance that he had put upon himself and gave that revelation of who he was to Jesus. And then Jesus, as the Holy Spirit came upon him, Jesus then knew the Father's will and did the Father's will, because he was indeed and is indeed one with the Father and one with the Spirit. But Jesus is real, as real today as he was 2,000 years ago when he walked this earth. Now, it goes on and says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. We see that Nicodemus came and spoke to Jesus at night. He wasn't sure whether what he was doing was right or wrong. It certainly he knew it wasn't something that was going to be accepted by others that were in authority. You know, if we're afraid or we're ashamed, we hide it in the dark. Now, Nicodemus is to be given commendation for seeking to follow Jesus. But he gets a down check for doing it in the dark. We need to look at our lives. Are we keeping Christ's aspect of our lives in the dark? Are we holding it up in the light? You know, we don't want to be hiding in the dark. We want to be standing in the light. It says, for whoever lives by truth comes into the light, so that it may be plain, may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. See, sometimes when we go into the light, there will be challenge and difficulties, but if we're doing it through God, it will be plainly seen. Christ is the reason for Christmas. And without Christmas, there is no Good Friday, there is no cross, there is no empty tomb, there is no salvation for the lost world. Yet, we so often are hesitant to hold up Christ in the lights of the world around us. Why? Because we're afraid of men. We're afraid of the world. But Jesus is enjoining us here to step forward in the light, because then they'll see that what we've done through God. In order for them to see that we've done it through God, God will have to be with us. when we do it. And if we step up into the light, into the light of the good news, and we preach it and speak it and live it, people will see it and be able to give God the glory for it. Let's not be down-checked because we're trying to hide it in the dark. Let's remember that Jesus came to provide salvation for all who will believe Him. And that we don't know who that's going to be. It might be the person we think is going to come against us the most. But if we're faithful to just share the gospel, it might change them. See, did that happen to everybody? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember. Some guy named Saul was running around throwing rocks at people, arresting them. And he was confronted with the light of Christ. We came to know this man later as Paul. One who had a warrant authorizing him to arrest and to kill Christians. Somebody like him can be transformed through the light of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. It can be done with anyone. And you can be the vehicle that God uses to do that. We have each been called to be the vehicles of carrying God's light into the world. Let's stand in the light, not in the dark, this Christmas season. Let's proclaim the Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You that You are loving, gracious God. That You loved this world enough to send Your only Son to live, to die, and to be resurrected for the forgiveness of our salvation, of our sins, and for the giving us of salvation, through the removing of our condemnation. Lord, we thank You, and we give You praise and glory. And we ask You that this Christmas season and every day, Lord, that You would raise within us a burning desire, a bright light of Your love to share with all those around us the gospel message. Lord, might we share it in such a way that we draw people to You and not push them away. Might we share it in such a way that Your light shines clear. That Your Holy Spirit might touch those whom You've drawn to Yourself, and that they may receive second birth, that they might be touched and be born again. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we will be singing together.